were discussing the lack of a U.S. certification for a city car class being an impediment to getting that type of vehicle here. They do have it in Europe and Japan, you say?
That's correct.
And if they had it here, that would make it easier to bring it here?
Absolutely.
This car is certified. It's been side impact tested to U.S. standards?
Yes.
I'm sorry, what else was there?
It meets the European regulations, which is called the quadricycle classification of city cars.
Okay.
That goes significant higher level of tests than an EV, but probably few less tests than a standard car. But the idea is that these be used for city, and therefore their level of refinement or safety and speeds are between an EV and a regular full-blown M1 category car. Therefore, it allows companies to get into these areas, to use them for cities, and where you know you're not really going at 60, 70 miles an hour. And therefore,
so there is no such classification in existence here in the States?
Not in the U.S.
That's right. There's no classification.
In the U.S., you have NEV class, which is a top speed of 25 miles per hour, and then you have everything else, full speed vehicles, where you have to meet the same classifications as a big Cadillac or you know something with capabilities going.
It sounds like an important point. I don't know.
The
feds have a little chagrined I didn't know this.
The feds have a low speed standard or LSV.
Yeah.
And they have a high speed on that.
Yeah.
And the Europeans have created a mid speed for a city class. We need a mid speed here.
Right. And I've spoken with a lot of people here. There's a lot of interest in creating this intermediate classification because it would mean that we could have a lot more vehicles like this on the road.
Senators, congressmen, they're all behind it.
I'm just going to make a note, you're Catherine Cavallo.
Yes, I'm the regulatory legal person for EVWorks, so I've been looking into this area.
What is the relation with CalStart? Is it the same company?
We're participants in CalStart.
Okay.
EVWorks is participating in CalStart.
So many names and so many companies in California.
Okay. Yeah, CalStart is, I guess, a consortium. There are several companies that participate in CalStart, which basically means we pay them some money and we work together on projects. We have
put our technologies, other people's technologies and efforts.
And
together.
That way we have the benefit of relationships that CalStart has developed.
Like they have a mobility center program they've been cultivating in California. We'd like to see our vehicles implemented into that the way actually Ford has in the past, but since they're not doing it, they were looking at putting ours in those centers and also in station car programs. We're hoping to see these fill up very small parking spaces where we're having trouble putting our cars near stations for light rail.
Well, you know, since some of the other manufacturers don't seem to want to be in that particular business, it would be nice to see yours in,
that's right.
in that business. I think, for example, New York City, that would
Absolutely.
Be fantastic.
It'd be
great. Great city car.
I can tell you as a person who does a lot of highway driving, I absolutely don't want to see it anywhere near a highway.
We don't either.
Right, we don't either. We wouldn't. It's not designed, you know, we don't see it as something that you would do.
It's a need for a 45 mile an hour city car.
Right.
Maybe 2 miles an hour city car.
Right.
That really is used for city centers at 40 to 50 miles range.
It would help with pollution for one thing.
Yeah. Easy parking.
Cost of operation.
Yes.
It would make a lot of sense in a lot of areas, San Francisco, New York, a lot of downtown city areas.
One other thing I should mention that about the low speed classification, I don't know if you know this, but NEV is legal on roads only 35 miles per hour or less. And the reason that we need the intermediate classification is so that anyone driving a car like this could drive on any street in the city. Not necessarily on the highway. We would say it'd be fine if these cars were certified for use on any city street, but not freeways. That's fine because we don't need it to be freeways.
Well, highways would be between 60 and 70, or 55 and 70 generally.
Right, and so we would
city streets would be...
I mean, there are a lot of city streets that have our 50-mile-an-hour limits. For, like, Laguna Beach,
right.
Ventura County, you have PCH connecting parts of the city.
Or
45, right.
We would just like to see people not drive on 25 with their golf cart types on a 45-mile-an-hour street or try to do that kind of thing. It's just too big a difference.
It's also
even on
not
35-mile-an-hour streets where people drive 50.
Right.
It's too big a difference.
Indeed they do. And, you know, with the NEVs, I think they should be able to drive a little faster if you're going at 35 miles per hour.
It would be safe.
It's not healthy to have the differential in speeds.
Yeah. Exactly.
Even a 45 mile per hour vehicle top speed, which I assume you have to work a little to get it to a top speed, on a 50 mile
in the car.
On a 50 mile per hour street, even just having that differential, where people are going to do 55 or 60, even though they shouldn't.
Yeah.
But it's close enough.
Exactly. Percentages work out better there. Whereas if you have these people driving 50 on a 35, and you're going 25, that's a 100% difference. If you're talking about people going 50 on a 45 or something like that, or 60 on a 50, and you can go 50, that's only a 20%, 50% difference.
Right.
Yeah, I would definitely like to see a push for that intermediate classification. I actually personally think that it would make city streets safer if we had that classification. We would have a lot more of these kinds of cars on the road, and that's going to be a lot safer. I would much rather walk around the city or drive around the city with more of these on the road and fewer big SUVs. There is actually something you might be interested in along these lines. In Canada, we were just meeting with some gentlemen who are... In Canada, apparently, they have the same regulatory framework as the U.S. They have this low speed and the high speed. But the difference is the provinces apparently control...
what that speed is.
And which cars are allowed on the roads. And the provinces do not currently, in Canada, do not currently allow low-speed vehicles, any of these, on the roads. So they are doing a program to study how to incorporate low-speed vehicles into city streets safely. And so one of the things that they're talking about is actually changing infrastructure, having low-speed vehicle lanes, possibly. So where you have only any of these over here and you have low-speed vehicles here, they're studying all these kinds of things.
You're saying there's no classification in Canada?
In Canada, apparently they have the same regulatory framework at the federal level as we have, because they try to keep it the same as the U.S. because they want to facilitate sale of automobiles across borders. So what they have is a low-speed classification of 25 miles an hour, just like we have.
Yes.
And they have a full speed, but no intermediate. But the difference there is, whereas here, under the low-speed classification, you can register that car and get an operating permit and drive it on any streets under 35 miles an hour. There, apparently, the provinces control the licensing of vehicles, and they won't actually license a vehicle that goes, a low-speed vehicle. So they have this classification at the federal level, but they can't actually drive the car. They don't drive them.
They sell their cars over here.
There's no such thing as a...
Apparently, they're not able to drive them. Want to look into this. I'm getting this from some gentlemen that I talked to today.
So it's
getting it secondhand, but I understand that that's the reason they're doing this project, to look into how to incorporate low-speed vehicles in city driving in a safe way so that they can then convince the provinces to license them so they can be driven.
So it sounds like a pertinent issue.
Yeah, it's a really interesting program, which we may be participating in.
Okay. I'm speaking with Diego Morales.
That's right.
Of EV Works. They're bringing the Riva to the United States.
Yeah.
And should be available in California in
March or April of next year.
Not directly to consumers at first, at very first.
Fleet buyers, maybe fleet buyers even earlier than that, for the right customers in the Southern California region. And then during the next year, we'll be spreading north and south in the California coast area once we tie up each individual service element and sales element. And there'll be some internet sales support for the sales and customer support. There will be, and then as time goes, we will, and product becomes available from the manufacturer, we'll move eastward.
So this would be a possible replacement for a, if you get it on sale to consumers, which doesn't sound entirely clear yet, this would be a possible replacement for ThinkCity EV, leaser?
Well, initially we're going to enter it as an NEV in order to sort of put off the costs and effort of doing the crash testing, but we expect by the end of next year we should have that done in some capacity, whether it be a waiver or a full-on test and airbag implementation and all that.
Assuming that it will be somehow software limited to 25 miles per hour under or something like this?
Yeah, for the first part of the year. It'll be regeared and also limited to 25.
And then if it wasn't limited in that way, what could it do?
The current production version elsewhere in the world is a 45-mile-an-hour vehicle with about a 45-mile range. It uses American controller, Curtis controller. Has 10 U.S. patents incorporated into it. It's actually the manufacturer is a U.S. Indian joint venture company.
Okay.
It was created here in California as well.
It was created in California?
About 9 years ago. This fellow right here, actually, myself, Tate, my name, and myself, were part of a design team that was located in Monrovia, California, in a company called Amerigon, where it was sort of it was designed, and then soon after it was taken to India for engineering manufacturing.
Why is this area in California such a big deal with EVs? What is it about this area?
Well, I would say a lot of the legislation that was in the early 90s, created in the early 90s, really drove a lot of, kind of like fuel cells right now. Why are there so many fuel cells in California? There's a lot of it is driven by public interest, and hopefully that continues so we see the further development of these vehicles and implementation. And now we're finally seeing sort of the fruits of the labors that were done back in those times. We're seeing it now coming back. Now, of course, in the rest of the world, they're adopting it much quicker. And a lot of that is due to some of the regulations that they have you heard of the low-speed and high-speed vehicle certification standards they have for U.S.
There was one thing you said before I wanted to get down, which is how many are on the road in India, approximately?
It's
around 600 so far.
And how is that going?
Very good. We've been test marketed for a year and a half in one city first, then expanded to other cities. And now the car has been European approved. We're just starting to sell in UK and other markets in Europe. It sells at a higher speed vehicle in these markets.
Well, I just test drove with the GEM people.
Yeah.
And we were talking about how well their sales are going. I mean, pretty well. And I'm thinking, maybe we could get some competition going here. Obviously, if you took the controls off, if you didn't have to tone it down for the NEV requirements, you could provide some real competition. Co-designers?
Well, I'm heading the company.
Okay.
Yeah, manufacturing. We're looking at the U.S. market.
Okay.